access to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And remember what we said back in Acts 1:8, what Jesus said. He said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And in Acts chapter 2, we saw this empowerment by the Holy Spirit to move the gospel message forward. And the first place that we see this take place is Jerusalem. And this powerful witness saw the church begin with a bang. And, you know, here in chapter 6 of Acts, it continues to spread through Jerusalem. In fact, we see this through Acts chapter 7, the gospel message going throughout Jerusalem. And then in Acts 8 through 12, the Holy Spirit is moving through the lives of believers through Judea and Samaria. And then the remainder of the book, we see the gospel message moving to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is the empowerment and the accomplishment that Jesus promised, and it came to pass, and it continues to come to pass even today. And the reason being is the work's not done. The book of Acts has not ended. It continues on in the lives of God's people today as the gospel message is moving forward by the empowering of God's Spirit upon our lives. And we have to understand that the church is not an organization. It's a living organism. It's not a building, but people. And just as a living organism requires organization and structure, the church does as well. And we got to, you know, understand, because so many churches are treated today like they are an organization with board members and everything. You know, our board meetings are basically focused on what God is doing. And if God has placed something upon your heart and you come and tell me, as long as it's biblical, it's not something, you know, it's not biblical, go for it, man. You don't have to go through, well, you got to go through this, you know, board member here, or we got to do this through this and jump through this hoop over here. And then you can go out and serve God. Hey, if God's put something on your heart, man, let's do it. Let's see what God does. Now, last week in Acts chapter 5, we saw a problem with Ananias and Sapphira, and God dealt with their deceit. They were both struck dead by the Lord. Well, tonight we're going to see more problems arise within the church. And, you know, when I first came to be a Christian years ago, I thought, man, it's going to be great to be a Christian, man. Everyone's going to get along. Wow. You know, that's what it is when you're young in the Lord, man. You have no idea because you're still dealing with people. They had problems in the early church, and we still have problems today. And I think we'll still continue to see it until the Lord comes back and sets up his kingdom here on earth. Now, I think the problem is, for many in the church, is they have this I problem, capital I, not the trouble seeing. I want to do this. I think you should do it this way. You see, it's definitely an I problem. And that's what brought Lucifer down. And it brings many people down if they go down that path. And it's interesting because for the most part, problems within the church are not doctrinal issues, although we're starting to see that trend today. They are more like, they mostly deal with likes and dislikes. You know, I don't like the color of the carpeting. I don't like the color of the walls. Get over it, you know? And this is a true story that I'm going to share with you. And I mean, it's hard to believe, but this is what happens. This certain Dallas church decided to split. Each faction filed a lawsuit to claim the church property. And a judge finally referred the matter to the higher authorities in the particular denomination. A church court assembled to hear both sides of the case and awarded the church property to one of the two factions. The losers withdrew and formed another church in the area. During the hearing, the church courts learned that the conflict had all begun at a church dinner when a certain elder received a smaller slice of ham than a child seated next to him. Sadly, this was reported in the newspapers for everyone to read. Imagine how the people of Dallas laughed about that. You know, isn't it crazy how the smallest thing can be blown so out of proportion by people? And the church has warded off frontal attack only to be destroyed from within. And here in Acts 6, we're going to see how Satan's trying to disrupt that inward peace of the early church, to cause disunity, to cause division. And think about it, all these things are happening within the church, right? The church was growing by leaps and bounds. You know, 3,000 received Christ at Pentecost, another 2,000 were added shortly thereafter. And if this is just the men, wow, I mean, the church could have been 10, 15, 20,000 people. And think of the works of God that have been destroyed because of this eye problem. You know, God blesses a work, souls come to Christ, the church reaches its community, missionaries are sent out, and someone complains that he or she is not appreciated, or they're being neglected, or, you know, that someone looked at me in a funny way, or whatever. And then you have this dissensions that spreads, and the work goes up in flames. This is what's going on here in Acts chapter 6, as we'll see tonight. This unity of the early church was a delicate unity, and it was being threatened, it was being endangered by what was going to take place here. When problems arise, they need to be dealt with in a powerful way as the church surrenders to the Holy Spirit's directing. You know, it's not that we do something and then ask God to bless it. No. You seek direction from God. And when people are open to what God is doing, when they're willing to surrender their lives to the Holy Spirit's guiding, there's peace and unity. But most of the time, like I said, I gets in the way and things become a mess. There's disunity, wars, confusion. And so that's our background. Let's just dig in. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 6. Let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study His Word. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now, again, church is growing. People are coming to Christ. Again, 15, 20,000 people maybe. God was adding to the church, but God also subtracts from the church. We saw that with Ananias and Sapphira. And God will do that. And many times those that leave are a blessed subtraction because they are causing strife. They are causing difficulty. They have their own agenda. They're not following what the Lord is doing. Other times, God just moves people. And we saw that with, you know, Pastor Dave going to Bible school, going out to Wyoming to be pastor out there. That's an awesome thing. But in either case, God always adds. He always multiplies back to replace those who have left. And I've seen that over the years. And here's the thing, I think a lot of us miss this. As God is working, as God is moving and growing a church, guess what? Satan is also there, and he's trying to destroy the church. And he does it in a lot of different ways, as I said. He tried through persecution, right, with the early church. It didn't really work. The church ended up growing. He tried to destroy the church through sin, but God stepped in with, and, you know, took care of Ananias and Sapphira, and the church grew again. Now he's trying to cause dissension within the church, all kinds of internal conflict, fighting with each other, discrimination. Oh, we're not being taken care of. And look at what's going on today. I don't know, maybe you heard the story. The guy was shipwrecked on an island. He was there for 30 years on this island. Finally, a boat comes to rescue him. And they get out, they bring the guy back on, and as they're moving out, the guy on the boat who came to rescue this guy says, you know, I see three huts there. You're only one person. What's up with that? What's that first house there for? Oh, that's where I live. Well, that's great. What about the next one? He goes, well, that's where I go to church. Okay, you live there. You go to church there. What's that one? Well, that's where I used to go to church. Yeah, you know, that's kind of how it is. You know, I've been doing this long enough, I've seen it over and over again. What people leave for, it's like the silliest things. And that may offend some people, you know, saying that the reason they left was silly. But listen to the reasons. Of course it's silly. It's not doctrinal. And they let Satan win. It's an eye problem. Self-centered. And here in chapter 6 of Acts, what's the problem? What's the problem between two groups of people? The Hellenist Jews felt their widows were not being treated fairly by the Hebrew Jews in handing out not only the food, but supplies to live by. Why did they feel that way? Well, again, the reason is simple, but foolish and silly. You see, the Hellenistic Jews were part of the diaspora, and they followed the Greek culture, they spoke the Greek language, and they were looked down upon by the Hebrew Jews as compromisers of their faith. The Hellenistic Jews saw the Hebrews as a holier-than-thou people. They're both Christians now, these groups. These are both people of God. And here's the underlying turmoil. And Satan can use that to cause division. Now, were they being treated unfairly? I don't think so, but you know, we don't know for sure. But in any case, they at least perceived that they were. And if you don't deal with that, it will continue to grow. And yeah, divisions will come. A difficult problem for the early church. And think about it. You know, I think for the most part, we do the same thing. You know, we like to point the finger at, you know, the early church. Oh, look at, they're just being like little kids. And we look at the children of Israel, you know, as they're walking through the wilderness and they don't have faith. Oh, look at them. God is showing us, you know, it's a mirror to show us what's in our heart, what we need to change. But think about it. We look at certain groups of people and, you know, we look down upon them. Why? If they're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Yeah, there's a lot of apostasy going on in the church today. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about people who have walked away from the faith, people who do not believe in the blood atonement, that Jesus is God and so on. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about brothers and sisters in the Lord. We don't compromise our faith to work together, but there wasn't any compromise here in Acts 6. They just had a little misunderstanding. One writer put it like this. He says, it's important to remember that though the titles Hebrews and Hellenists are used, these were Christians, followers of Jesus. They were all from a Jewish background, but they had all embraced Jesus as their Messiah. There's the problem now, though. This little division, and you know how things can grow. You know, you keep picking at the scab, it's never going to heal. And can you imagine, if this is not dealt with, it will never heal and it'll just spread. Look at verse 2. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So here the 12 apostles are working together, including Matthias, who was chosen back in Acts chapter 1 to be part of this group. And they looked at this situation and they sought a solution to this problem. And they said, you know, it's not desirable that we should leave the work of God and serve tables. Now, here's the thing. It's not that they thought this work was beneath them. You know, hey, we're apostles. We don't do stuff. We don't clean the bathrooms. Not at all. That's not the idea here. They recognized the fact that they could not do it all and they needed assistance in the work. There are some today who feel that way. I remember years ago, my pastor said that there was an older couple who had come to his church, the church, and he was young in the Lord, and he was the pastor, and the couple took him out for lunch or dinner, and you know, was saying, you know, I noticed that you, Pastor Phil, do a lot of the work around the church. You shouldn't be doing that. Someone else should be doing that. And he kind of thought, well, I'm the pastor. Maybe that's true. I don't know. So he, at that time, you can call Pastor Chuck Smith up, and you know, he talked with him, and Pastor Chuck said, you know, Phil, I'm looking out the window right now and I see some garbage in the parking lot. As soon as I'm done talking with you, I'm going out there to clean it up. That's all Pastor Phil needed to hear. Yeah, I mean, work needs to get done, but you can't do everything. You have to be realistic about that. And here, they said, you know, pick 7 men for the ministry to do this work. What happens a lot of times today is, oh, we have a need. You have to fill it. That's not how it works. You just don't put people into a ministry because you have a need. Not at all. Notice what's going on here. These men had to have a good reputation in the community. They were not men who were evil or dishonest. They had a good reputation amongst the people. That's important. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. So it's important. They were also to be full of the Holy Spirit. Of course, they needed to be saved. Yeah, that makes sense. But also men who were empowered by the Spirit of God and full of wisdom. Yeah, they needed biblical knowledge, but they also needed the wisdom of God to apply those things correctly in their lives. You know, I like 1 Chronicles 12:32. From the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the temper of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. They understood it. That's important, understanding what to do. And again, if it, you know, you guys know me at all, I just don't put someone in ministry because there's a need. I mean, years ago, there was a need for youth ministry, and there was no one to do it at that time. That was back at that old, at the old building we were in, and the kids wanted to get together, and I wasn't going to tell them no. So I oversaw the ministry until God raised someone else who could oversee it. And it took a few years before that happened. And it's much easier, or it's actually much harder to remove someone from ministry if there are problems. It's much easier not to put them in at all. Just wait, pray. You know, I had someone who wanted to be in ministry. He wanted to oversee the Sunday school program. Again, this was at the old building. And he felt that, well, he didn't always show up for church, but he wanted to be part of the Sunday school ministry to oversee it. I said, well, you know, if you want to oversee a ministry, you really have to come to church. And he thought I was legalistic. I'm like, no, it's part of your ministry, right? You're overseeing this. You should be here. And he thought I was legalistic. And I was very thankful I did not put him in the ministry because that would have just been painful for me. Also, in Acts 6:3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men, good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. I like this. They got the Hellenist Christians who are feeling neglected, and they said, you guys pick seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and have the wisdom to oversee this work. You guys do it. That's great. You guys are responsible. Why didn't the apostles oversee this ministry? It's easy. It's not desirable that we should leave the work of God and serve tables, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Prayer and then the word of God. You see, you can't preach on what you don't know, and God will show you as you pray and meditate upon him and his word. I mean, that is my priority here at the church, to pray and minister the word of God to you. Do I do other things? Yeah, I do a lot of other things. We're a small church, and even if we were a large church, I probably would still do a lot of things, because that's just what I do. But my first priority is prayer and the study of God's word so I can share with you. I remember someone who said, you know, yeah, I get up on a Sunday and, you know, whatever the Lord gives me, that's what I give to the people. I'm thinking, those poor people. You haven't put any time in? You didn't study? I mean, that's not a good thing. And I'm actually very blessed here because I look at all the people who are in various ministries helping in the work. The radio ministry. Are there things within the radio ministry that I can do? Yeah, but God has raised up people to do the work. I don't have to. And if I did, I would be hindering what God is trying to do in their lives. God has raised up a lot of people like Max and Mickey, Conrad, Milton, and others doing the work of the radio station. And I think they're blessed that they can serve God in that role. And that's how it's to work. I can't do everything. You know, it's so wonderful with, you know, when Pat Smith, you know, she was sick for like 2 years, and just seeing the various people within the church who went to visit her and minister to her. I couldn't be there a lot, but you guys were. That was an awesome thing, seeing how you guys are, just the body of Christ was working. Now, if something got in the way of me teaching, praying, ministering, in the long run, if that was something that happened, the other stuff would have to go away. Because that, my priority is to pray and teach you the word. Has that ever happened? It hasn't. That's kind of the amazing thing. Even when I was working full-time outside the church, down in Sheboygan at St. Nicholas Hospital, God provided me the time, I don't know how, because now that I'm not working outside the church, I'm busy all day. And yet, back then, he allowed me to get all the studies done that I needed to. That's really important, teaching God's Word today. We've kind of put that aside, and it doesn't seem to be as important anymore, but it is. You know, Paul, when he was giving his farewell address to the Ephesian elders at Miletus in Acts 20, he said, "And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.'" Bringing the Word of God forth in people's lives. Healthy doctrine is being replaced by skits and jokes and stories today. But that doesn't help us to grow, does it? The Word of God is what's living and powerful. And look at today. And I'm not just picking on mega churches. You know, we have numerous large churches of over 20,000 members. Why do we see so much social immorality going on in our nation today if churches are so big? Do you ever think about that? It shouldn't happen. And again, I'm not just picking on large churches. We're all responsible. But look at values like abortion, same-sex marriage, or threats to religious liberty. I mean, some have said there's 45 million Christians in America, not including Roman Catholic or Orthodox or Episcopal or even mainline Protestant churches. And yet, look at what's going on today. I don't get it. Why? Why is this happening? Because people don't know the Word of God. They mock the Word of God. Oh, it's boring. You don't know what you're reading. Now, before I got saved, it was boring. After I got saved, man, can't get enough of it. And I'm not really here to make you happy. I'm really here to show you how to be holy. That's what God desires in your life. Sometimes it's not easy, is it? You know, you hear a message, it's like, man, God gets you right in the heart. It's like, did you call him and tell him about me? No, no one calls me and tells me about what's going on in your life. But that's a big thing. Preaching is meant to make us holy, not necessarily happy. The church is not around to fill church seats. We're here to make disciples. The church is afraid to offend man, but they're not afraid to offend God. Think about that. Well, you know, we're not going to teach on, you know, prophecy or the book of Revelation or Daniel because people don't really like that and, you know, it's too controversial. So what you're basically saying is, you know what, God, you blew it on that one. You should have never included the book of Daniel or Revelation in the scriptures. Why? Because you're offending people. Maybe those people need to be offended. I don't know. You know? But now you're offending God because you're telling him you know better than him. The worship of God is to worship him, not to entertain our flesh. It's not to pump us up. Think about some of the worship that goes on. I'm not saying you can't go to a Christian concert. That's different than worship. What I'm talking about is what we do here before our services on Thursday evenings and Sunday mornings is worship the Creator of heaven and earth. Why? Because when we come in here, who knows what went on at work or what went on at home or what went on in the grocery store or wherever, all the stuff we're bringing in here or at the doctor's office or whatever. And it's just our minds are filled and ready to explode. And all of a sudden, we start worshiping God and our hearts and minds are focused upon him. And we are ready then to receive what he has for each of us. I can tell you, we could pump you up. We can get the lights going, the smoke going. We can get all that stuff going. And when you leave here, you will leave the same way you came, unchanged. But if the Word of God is given to you as your heart is open to what God has for you, you will leave here a changed person because God is doing a work. That's why it is so important for me to pray and to study and prepare to share with you what God has shown me. This Sunday, we start the book of James. The book of James is a tough book because it all deals with application. At least Paul had chapters that dealt with doctrine. Okay, this is just doctrine. Now, this is how you're to live. Watch your tongue. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Oh, come on, James, you're killing me here. Isn't that a good thing, though? God wants us to examine our lives so that we can grow. And it's not easy.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us? As we feast on God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.